Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Alan.
And welcome to D6 Minutes, the Miniatures Gaming Companion podcast, the Dice Over Everything, where we choose a bunch of topics and talk about them for as long as the dice decide.
All right, since we decided to make this crunch time of the year, aka Adepticon is coming up in a couple weeks, that means getting hobby stuff done is extra important. So what have you been getting done?
1 minute. Oh, short and sweet. Ooh, well, I've been working on my actual Infinity Army, so I don't have that much. So here's the thing. I'm getting to a point where it'll be fine, but not in a way that I'll be happy with it. So I would say I'm like 40% of the way through my main army, but I have been thinking about what you said before about play testing the army, because this is going to be a brand new army, right?
Course.
And so that would require painting like
50% more guys,
or 50% more guys. So I'm seeing if I'm going to do that, or I might actually just finish painting one of the guys for my Arena Rex army. So I have all of my guys painted, but I do have the mounted guy that I never painted, and I might actually spend time just painting that guy instead. So that would require me going into the Adepticon without having played my army at all, but
you know, whatever. You play the game, but you play other people's versions of that army.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. How about you?
Oh, I've also been painting my Infinity for Adepticon. And I think I mentioned before I did like a test paint of one model. And, you know, after you do your test paint and you look at it, you start doing it again. You're like, oh, yeah, that was just wrong. Like, this red is wrong. How I'm painting this like off white, dirty color, dirty like beige is all wrong. So I've just been like, as I've been doing more of the models, I've been correcting it rather than just like, because I'm bulk painting. But if you bulk paint and you bulk paint without any test model, they're your test models. And when it's wrong, you're like, well, shit, you just did a whole pile of guys wrong. So it's going pretty well on that front. So I think that's our minute.
Yeah. You on track?
I don't know. I'm painting the easy guys first, so I don't know.
All right. Well, that's what the dice decided. I'd like to follow up, but can't. All right. So I will start, I guess. My first question is, so we've been rushing a whole bunch of models, sort of painting models to get it ready for Adepticon. And maybe after that, we'll have a whole bunch of new models that we can play and continue to play going forward. But my question is more about what's left in terms of your backlog. And if you had stopped buying, which of course we won't, we're going to buy stuff at Adepticon. But if you were to stop buying, how long do you think your backlog would take you to get through?
All right, roll it up.
1 minute.
Well, I could have gone for longer, but luckily we don't have to embarrass ourselves because the dice have decided we don't really need to embarrass ourselves that much. But I do like how you phrase that question in terms of like, oh, how many models do you have to paint? Which is kind of almost irrelevant. Like if you have like 100 epic scale, aka like little tiny 8mm dudes to paint, that's very different than like 100 like 75mm scale models to paint, because you might not finish that in your whole life.
Exactly.
Whereas one you might be able to churn out in a couple of weeks. Oh, so yeah, I like the way you asked that
think
question.
Think about my 75mm models. I've got a couple of those.
I keep going to work, right?
Yes.
Yes? Yeah, I got
to assuming you're
going
to work. Yeah.
And the stuff I don't really want to finish?
Yeah, yeah.
So I have it, but I don't
even
really want
to do it. Backlog is the stuff you want to finish, and there's some stuff that you bought, but you probably will never actually touch. Right? And at some point, you probably might sell it off, or it'll just stay in your basement. So not including that. The stuff that is
actually want to paint,
that you wanted to paint, or that you feel like you will eventually want to paint.
3.5 years.
3.5 years. For me, I think it's like 5 years.
I've seen your shelf. So yeah, I could say 5 years.
Yep. At least at the rate that I'm doing it right now, it might actually be longer than that, but I'm going to say that I'm going to get rid of a lot of that stuff, so it's 5 years.
Yeah, I didn't count the stuff I don't want to paint, so.
Yeah, exactly. There's way more than that. But, you know, 1 minute is 1 minute, and that was way over 1 minute, so.
Well, we defined the question. That's what we did. We defined
the
question.
All of that
and then is we just said, then we just said the time, so.
Exactly. All right. How about you?
All right, let's go for this. All right. So just seeing like all these Kickstarters that come out for games got me thinking, like, because they've been making so many like video games, like from Warhammer 40K keeps getting these games. We played Blood Bowl, which has a video game. But has there ever been a good like video game that's then become a good miniature game?
4 minutes.
Like a good one. They exist, but
So it's 4 minutes, so we might as well just on the top of my head, I don't think so. But if we were to go through it, let's just think about the ones that have been created. So there's the Fallout game.
Yeah, which I've heard is mediocre, and like maybe the cooperative mode is okay, but Fallout Wasteland Warfare, I've only heard like mediocre things at best about.
There's the Elder Scrolls game, both by Modiphius.
Yeah, the miniatures, some of them were kind of cool, but no one ever even wants to talk about the game, so never heard anything good about the gameplay there. There's the Halo Fleet Battles game, which was almost dead on arrival because nobody thought it even looked cool. like more video games they've turned into, like, there hasn't been a Mario game. Like, Mario's been around forever. No one's made a miniature game of it.
Yeah, I actually, like, for video games, video game properties turning into other things is relatively new phenomenon, because it's only relatively new, and, like, relative is, like, like in the past 5-10 years where video game properties have become so big that they go the other way around. Most of the time, it's other properties, like story properties, becoming video games. So,
and then it could be a miniature game too. Like, it comes as like a comic property or story becomes either, which can work.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe Cyberpunk 2077.
It's an RPG first.
Shit, really? All of it started as an RPG before the rest?
It's an RPG.
It then became
the miniature game is based on the RPG, not, it's actually based on the RPG, not the video game. Obviously influenced by the video game, because the video game is so influential. Yep. So you could say, you could cheat and say the new Cyberpunk Red Combat Zone, even though it's named after the RPG, not the video game, and set in the timeline of the RPG, not the video game. You could say that it's inspired by stuff that's happening in the video game. But then you could also say that like 40K and stuff has inspired things in the actual tabletop game, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's
like Dawn of War stuff at the time.
Still doesn't count though. No,
I think the closest is probably the new Cyberpunk game, because definitely most people know of Cyberpunk from the video game, even though it's technically based on the RPG. I'd say probably that's the closest, and that's relatively new. And I don't think you never played it, right?
No,
I basically ran a demo of it, and it is quite good. And there's a couple of guys at the store who are like, oh, let's get into it. So I'm not that into the miniatures. I think I mentioned this before, that the miniatures have just a slight big headitis, which I don't like.
Yeah, bust on the miniatures, and their quality is also mediocre. Like, I just bought them for a bunch of spiders to use as, like, infinity proxy token things.
Yeah.
The sculpt, like, the look of the sculpt is okay. The design is okay. But, like, the actual quality of the material is quite low.
Anyway. Is it Zeocast, or was yours resin?
It's just resin.
I think they switched to Zeocast.
That could make it better.
Or it could make it worse. I don't know. It depends on, like, Zeocast is its own production thing. So if you have experts who can do it, it'll be better, right?
True.
But, I think, I don't know, I'll probably get into it, but I might end up using 3D printed miniatures. Like Unit 9, so nice. So, Unit 9 is technically a board game / miniature game. Definitely inspired by, I believe, Cyberpunk games. So, but that's not really a miniatures game. Kind of it is, because, you know, it's miniatures board game, so.
Okay, so the best one, in our opinion, could be the Cyberpunk. Not Red, but the Cyberpunk Combat Zone. But
it's called Cyberpunk Red Combat Zone. So
is Red in there too? Okay.
It's because it's branded off of the RPG. I guess they didn't get rights from the video game, right?
Yeah.
Cyberpunk 2077 is the branded video game version, but Cyberpunk Red, it's the original licensor, right?
So we're just saying there isn't one, unless we use a technicality. All right. Okay, yeah, that's the question.
Which I will play, which I will be playing probably very soon.
Cool.
Yep. All right. Okay, my next question is, so while I was out with those guys who were mentioning that they're probably going to get into Cyberpunk Red Combat Zone, I did end up trying out Space Weirdos, which is a 16 to 24 page zine format for a game. So I know you haven't tried it, so I can't ask you questions about what you think, but you can ask me. But my question is actually more about that zine format. What do you think about this kind of 16 to 24 page game zine format for distributing games? Miniature games. 5 minutes. This should be the last one.
So because we've been doing a bunch of Frostgrave podcasts, I keep reading the Frostgrave book, and people keep talking about Frostgrave as being a short, like, game. And you read the rule book and it's like over 100 pages.
Yeah, a lot of them is missions and stuff, though.
I know, but clearly, like, we even buy more books of Frostgrave for the missions. So having missions is extremely important. So I'm like, cutting things out of a game to get down to that zine format, I think, like, the sacrifice of doing that is huge. Because we've never gotten into a game that can just fit into a zine format before, because we played one page rules. That could be like a zine format thing. I'm trying to think what else could even fit into the zine format that's been played, but I don't know. So everything we've been drawn to, just from like the experience standpoint, seems to have had to be a larger game.
Yeah, I guess the idea is that so we played a lot of different games, but I guess also the type of things that we enjoy, because we're so, what do you call it, steeped in miniature gaming, the zine format is more like tiny snippets of experiences, right? Yep. Because like you said, it has to be small and has to be tight, right? For it to have, it's either very simple and not necessarily for us, right? Because it's like, you could say it's like a, you know, a beginner kind of war game. It has, you know, if you're going to give it to people who've never played, like, for example, Space Weirdos is made for people who play RPGs. Right, yep. It's people who've played RPGs and they're wanting to transition into miniature gaming. Space Weirdos is trying to do that, right? Mm-hmm. To keep it that simple, it's not going to necessarily be the kind of game that we want, because we played so many different games that do everything with that game and more, and it comes naturally to us, so we don't have it the cognitive overhead that someone coming in new would want, where they just want a really tight, small format, right? For us, we played lots of that experience, yeah?
Yeah, when you describe a rulebook like that, I'm almost thinking of like a board game rulebook. Because with board games, I start reading the rulebook, and if a board game rulebook hits page 40, I'm like, what are you trying to make me do to just play this quick game? What is going on here? I want just be able to flip through it in like 30 minutes and feel like I've understood how to play the game, which...
So I think that's the thing that the other side. So I'm actually not a game. I'll lay my cards on the table. I think I like the idea, but they have to be, for them to have an experience that we enjoy, it either has to be a beginner kind of game just so that you can play it with people who are just getting into the game, so a nice game to sell to other people to get into the hobby, or it has to be a very, very tight experience where it's just like a curated, let's say a mission pack, like not necessarily a mission, but like a curated game where it's three or four, you play it three or four times and you enjoy it and you move on, right?
Yeah, it's got to be very close to a board game at that point, is what I'm thinking.
Exactly.
Because what keeps it, what can allow a board game to be tight is that it doesn't have like that free form movement where you need to go through like loads of descriptions of every possible three-dimensional scenario. I think it needs to be a grid-based board game at that point to get your rules set that tight almost.
I don't necessarily think so. There's another thing with zines is that they're pretty fast and loose.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is, you know, they're like, you know how to move a guy, and you can write that in as your zine.
Mm-hmm.
They move that distance in inches. They can't move more than that. Figure it out, right? That's the kind of thing that you can kind of do in a zine that if you're where even new players, when they get into it, they're like, okay, I'll just figure it out, right? And because mm-hmm. the idea is that it's a small, bite-sized kind of experience that you might play 3 or 4 times, and if you enjoy it, you might play more. But, like, the idea is, because it's so small and bite-sized, if you only ever play it, like, 3 or 4 times, it will feel worth it, right? Because it's only 16, 20 pages. It doesn't take that long to learn, right, ideally, right? Mm-hmm. If you futz around with things, you can't really – you don't even play it enough to break it is another thing, right? So a lot of, like, the larger games that we're playing, because we want to play it 10, 20, whatever kind of times, we might play it so many times that it's very easy for us to – break the system in the end, right? Where someone takes something too powerful, or even just stumbles upon it, right? Doesn't yeah. even do it.
And just then one that particular strategy, you're like, oh, here's the strategy you just play every time. Okay.
Yeah. And so I think with the zine format, if you're making it in that kind of tight experience, I'm quite interested in doing that. And it also, each zine can be an excuse to model up a couple of miniatures.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if it's a zine thing, you're obviously, it's not going to be a miniature. It's not going to be miniature. It has to be miniature agnostic. Like, if they're selling yeah. miniatures and you're only going to use them a couple times, and you're going to spend tons of hours painting them, you're like, but this game's only worth playing a couple times? Doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, or it has to be small, where you do, like, three to five miniatures, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if you're ending up having to paint even, like, 10 or 20 miniatures for this zine game, it feels mm-hmm. like the game has to stick around because of the way that the hobby works, right? You're sinking so much time painting these miniatures. If you only play the game 3 or 4 times, it ends up feeling like not commensurate to the amount of effort you put in.
On that note, does Warcry fit into that number of pages, or did it spill over?
I'm trying to think. I think it does. Yeah. Warcry could fit in for sure into that kind of thing. I think in some ways that's the strength of Warcry. Mm-hmm. Like, if you strip away their weird deployment rules, which were actually kind of weird and complicated, the base game is actually pretty short, and you could even have the stats for a bunch of, like, 3 armies or 5 armies within 16 pages, I think.
Yeah, I'm just not sure Warcry is, like, the game for us, but, like, the miniatures are cool and lots of people enjoy it. It just might not be our game. Yeah, that could be a zine game.
Yeah, you never asked me about Space Weirdos, but I think we're out of time. So next mm-hmm. time we can talk about it sometime. Maybe we can talk about, in terms of, you know, when we talk about our hobbying experiences, I can regale you about my Space Weirdo adventures. But that's it for this episode. So if you have any questions, if you want to know about Space Weirdos, or you want to know about any other games we play, or have any questions for us, why don't you give us a shout? Email us at contact@diceovereverything.com.
Or find us on Facebook. We're Dice Over Everything.
This has been Alan.
It's been Brandon.
Bye.